Well, thank you, Gideon. I really appreciate that. It's awesome to come into a place like this and just laugh. Didn't Gideon do an incredible job with the games and just giving us a time to just hang out with each other and do some fun activities? And so, man, he did an incredible job. So I appreciate his heart and just the way that he has the ability to break the ice. Well, hey, I want to welcome you to Group Connect, man. It is here. We are doing it. We've been talking about this for many, many weeks now, and I just so appreciate that you would sacrifice a Sunday night to be here after the Chiefs game, right? A lot of you went to the Chiefs game. I see the sea of red in the audience tonight, and so thank you so much for being here. We had 130-plus young adults register for Group Connect, and so that's a huge win for us, and many of you are here tonight, so thank you. Thank you so much for that. Well, hey, we're going to dive right in. I like to dive right into a question, and I want to answer the question, what is community? Like, when you think of this word community, what comes to mind? I mean, community happens on a lot of levels. Like, some of you were out at Arrowhead Stadium, and there was community happening there. There was community happening before the game started. What's that called? Yeah, tailgating, right? There was tailgating happening all throughout the parking lot, and there was community taking place. People coming together under this umbrella of football and Kansas City Chiefs and bleed red, and so, man, there's just food and friendships and games, cornhole, right? And then you get into the stadium, and man, you're hanging out with your people in that section, and there's high fives and chest bumps, and there's just a lot of community happening. And so we see community happening in the world. But what we have to understand tonight is what we see many times in the world is not community that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, have called us to as his followers. He's called us to something that looks way different. Now, there's some of the aspects that you see in the world when it comes to community is community. The fun and the games and hanging out with each other and just laughing like we did a minute ago. We laughed until it hurt, and that felt really, really good. But there's an aspect of community that so many of us in the world is missing. And so, man, when you think about community, it is a biblical idea. It is a command from the Lord. But what possibly could be wrong with growing together with people who care for you, and you're going to grow, and they're going to grow with you, and they're going to encourage you, exhort you, and pray for you as you continue to let others know the real you? The problem with this clean and neat community is me and you. Think about the closest people in your life. Maybe it's a roommate. Maybe it's a brother or a sister, a mom or dad, or your best friend. But there's always times in those relationships when you are unhappy, you're upset, you're disappointed, you're frustrated, you're just downright mad with the other person. And in reality, community is messy. Why is it messy? Because of you and me. Like, you bring two sinful people together. I can think about 2 years ago when I got married, and I just thought it was going to be the greatest thing and never going to have problems, and we're going to knock this thing out of the park. No, man. Marriage has been one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life, but it's been one of the biggest blessings of my life as well. But it's hard because you have two sinners coming together trying to be in relationship, and that is not easy. So community is messy. But even in that, there's life. There's life in that as you experience this idea of being known and cared for by others on this journey. Think about the greatest form of love. The greatest form of love, I believe, is you and I being accepted. Being accepted. Love and acceptance. The greatest form of love is clearly seen as being accepted. Are these people going to like me? If they knew the real me, would they still accept me? One of the greatest gifts of love we can give to another person is to accept them for who they are. In an authentic community, it's a safe place. So let's dive right into the PowerPoint. I have some slides that are going to be up on the screen that I'm just going to go back and forth with that will help us as we enter into session one of Group Connect. So let's dive right in. The first question we're going to define tonight is, what is biblical community? The second one is, why is living in biblical community important? And then, how do we form biblical community? Like, how do we form it? So every single week, we're going to start out in an environment like this. This is our large group time. All of us coming together, 100 plus young adults coming together in large group time and having a session. Then we're going to split you up in a medium group where you're going to be separated by age and shared interest and just kind of your season of life that you're currently navigating right now. And then we'll split you up into a small group time. And the purpose of all of this is that you would get to know one another. Like, some of you come into this place and you're excited because you know people and you've already been in community with them before and you're just pumped up to get back into community. But then others of you come into this place and you have walls that are built. And you're like, what is this? Like, I don't know anybody, or I only know one person or two people. And so the purpose of Group Connect is that we would create an incredible environment for you to be able to have relationships with others and get to know people. So what is community? That's what I want to start out with. What is biblical community? Biblical community is authentic relationships that lead to spiritual transformation. That's what it's all about. It's authentic relationships that lead to spiritual transformation. Now, this happens in a lot of different ways, but I want you to understand that these people are committed to being a church within a church for each other. So it's hard sometimes. You go into Abundant Life and there's 2,200 people in that auditorium, or you come in here and there's 150 to 200 young adults on a Tuesday night at Paradigm, and sometimes you just don't know anybody, and it's hard to, you know, be known, and it's hard to find those relationships. And so how do you go from a massive church to a smaller group of people where you're cared for and you're loved? It's community. And so this community is people who are committed to being a church within a church for each other. They initiate with and pursue each other. So they're initiating with each other, and as they're initiating, they're pursuing one another, okay? They have love and acceptance. We talked about that. And as these two things happen, initiation and love and acceptance, this acts as a catalyst for growth for each other. Now, community looks like this: same gender or co-ed and life stage. So, you know, tonight you're going to be broken up with 18 to 21, 22 to 26, 26 to 30 plus. So that's just kind of give you a snapshot of what it could look like when you go into community here in a few weeks and your groups start to form. Average size of a community group will be 6 to 9 people. And then the regular group meetings, man, they happen weekly. Or weekly plus. One of the things that we saw, you know, happen before we had Group Connect is that we, you know, have these groups meet and people would show up and they would go to community. We had a lot of people, man. Some community groups had 20, 25, 30, and it got really, really big. And so you were just kind of a fly on the wall and you weren't really being known. And then you weren't really hanging out with each other outside of that community group time. And so that wasn't really the purpose. The purpose is that you would come together with people that you get to know here at Group Connect or people that you've already got to know, and that you'd come together with some of your closest friends or friends that you meet here that you really feel like you could live life with, and that you would meet all throughout the week. Meals, go to ball games, movies, activities, right? Coffee shops where you're studying the Word. You're helping each other. I mean, that's the purpose of community. Now, there's a few things that we need to discuss. The core values, these things that are essential to a community group. The first one is devote daily. This comes from John 15:5. We believe that we can do nothing apart from Him. And this is what John 15:5 says. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And so we would be a people that devote daily to abiding, to resting, to being still with Jesus. Pursue relationally. This comes from Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, so that we would pursue each other even when it hurts. Even when there's some brokenness to be had in that relationship or within that group. We would live authentically, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, James 5:16 says. We want to be a people that are known. We don't want to live in the closet. We don't want to just show up to our groups and we have these things that we're not willing to share and we're going to hold on to them and we're going to take those things to our grave. That won't end well for you, the scriptures say. You won't be healed that way. How many people are forgiven but not healed because they confess it to God vertically, this vertical relationship we have with Jesus, but then they're never willing to confess it to others and invite other people into their life who can help them overcome that sin. And so many people can be forgiven, but many people can't be healed because they're not willing to confess it. Counsel biblically, right? This is going to be the driving force for our community groups, that when you sit down with your group leader, that they would take you to the scriptures and it would be the scriptures in which they would lead your group. It'd be the filter in which they filter every question that you propose in that group. Hey, should I date him? Should I date her? Should I take this job? Should I not? Well, let's go back to what the scriptures have to say about that. This comes from 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of God or the woman of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? Fifth one is admonish faithfully. This is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Like, we're going to admonish you gracefully but truthfully, right? Engage missionally. This is the Great Commission, right? Last core value, that we want you to live on mission, that you're coming together. Yes, these groups are going to be closed so that you can go deep and you can build that trust, which is necessary for intimacy. So there's not going to be new people coming in and out of your group weekly. No, once these groups are established, right? But the goal is not so that you create some Christian clique or holy huddle, but that you would get deep, that you would be accountable. And that when you sit down, one of the questions that your group leader will ask is, hey, how are you living on mission this week? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Have you created a bridge to that coworker or that roommate or that classmate? Are you inviting them to church to come and see our great God, right? And so that you would engage missionally. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That has to be the cry of our heart, that we would live on mission everywhere we go because we have a message worthy for people to hear. Another reason why we gather is so that we can practice the one another's of Scripture. I just read you James 5:16, that you would pray for one another, that you would confess to one another. Man, there's 59 some New Testament one another's that we would practice. Why the one another's of Scripture? Because Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as you have been loved. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And listen, you can't practice the one another's of Scripture and love one another by living in isolation. By just staying on the surface. I like the Chiefs, so do you. Cool, let's be friends. Okay, that might be a start. I like to tailgate. I like to bleed red. I like coffee and lattes and iced coffee, right? That might be a start. I like cats. I like dogs. That might be a start, but God is calling you to deeper connections. Why shepherding at Abundant Life? Because we believe that shepherding happens when we take personal responsibility for each other. There is a shared responsibility of knowing and caring for each person in the community group. It's not just you being shepherded by your leader. It's you taking personal responsibility to help other people. You see a need. You're stepping in and you're helping that person. You're extending the arm of service to that person. Shepherding is our responsibility. But we do have somebody that oversees the group, who's that primary shepherd. And so our responsibility as leaders, Acts 20:28 says, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Man, this is a weighty responsibility that you would have as leaders. Next week, we are going to have a leader interest meeting. If you're wanting to be a leader of a community group, man, we're going to have a leader interest meeting right before Group Connect at 5 p.m. right here in this auditorium. I would invite you to be a part of that leader interest meeting. If you're like, hey, yes, I would love to have the privilege of leading a group. Now, we're going to have leaders over these groups. So the Bible talks about, hey, you being a sheep. If you're submitting yourself to a leader, you're a sheep. So I'm a sheep. Okay, so what's your responsibility as members of that group? Hebrews 13:17 says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Man, I'm telling you, it is a weighty responsibility to be a leader. Like, they're not going to take that responsibility lightly. And so you can have confidence in their leadership. They're not going to get it right every time. They're fallible. They're sinful. But that you would show grace just as much as they would show you grace when you need it, when you fall, when you don't get it right. And that's the beauty of community, that you learn how to manage that tension, right? Now, how does Group Connect work? We provide the environment plus the opportunity, but it's you that has to take it and run with it. Like, so we create this incredible environment where there's games and there's food. Yeah, I know some of you took advantage of the snack table in the back. Man, that thing is awesome, right? But hey, we give you this incredible environment to come in, to grab a cup of coffee, a drink, and some snacks, and play some games and laugh until it hurts. And then, man, we break you up into a medium group, and then you go into a small group so you can see, get a picture of what it would look like if you did commit to a group. And so we want that. We want to provide that environment, that opportunity, but it's on you to make that commitment. And we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. So first and second weeks, you're learning about community. You're meeting people and you're making friends. Third week, right? It's the last week of Group Connect where we communicate the nights and the connections that are made. We're going to talk about, hey, what is this going to look like moving forward? Right? This is a 3-week commitment. And then week 4 and 5, we begin to assimilate. We begin to form these groups of 6 to 9 people. You know, you're going to fill out a preference card that last week of Group Connect, and you're going to be able to say, hey, this is the night that would work for me. This is the time. Hey, these are the people that I would love to be in community group with. We can't make promises to put you with all those people, but we're going to do our best, and you got to trust us. And then week 5 and 6, man, we are going to mobilize you out into the city so that you would begin meeting with your group, becoming known, creating those relationships that are deep, those relationships that you're heavily invested in. Now, Group Connect topics. This week, we're talking about authentic relationships. We're talking about what is community. Next week, we're going to talk about community, fellowship, and fun. And then the third week, we're going to talk about biblical truth and spiritual growth. So I just want to give you a snapshot on what that looks like. Now let's dive into authentic relationships before we close and you guys go into your medium groups. Authentic relationships. Why do we need authentic relationships? What authenticity is and isn't, and how we should approach accountability. How we should approach accountability. Living authentically, sharing our struggles daily. Real and genuine, not this copied or false, you know, whatever you want to call it, right? So many of us, we come to church and we got the Christian t-shirt on, or we come in and we act like everything's okay. Hey, man, how you doing, brother? I'm great, man. You give the hug. But you know what? Deep down inside, you're struggling, man. You're wrestling. Not everything's great. You just lost your job. You had a tough breakup. You're struggling financially. Man, pornography's eating your lunch. She said this and it hurt, right? Like, we want you to be able to share that, to confess that, as James 5:16 says, so that you would have people to come alongside of you. Why we need authentic relationships. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Why do we need these relationships? Why is this so important? Because you can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. One of our core values here at Abundant Life and Paradigm is that people need people. We see this all over in Scripture. The early church in Acts 2 would meet together. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to unpack that verse during these weeks. Meet together day by day, breaking bread, gathering around the apostles' teaching, praying for one another, worshiping God, and they would do it day by day. We need each other if we're going to win the battle at hand. We need authentic relationships to counter our natural tendency to isolate. Listen, I'm an outgoing person. Relationships fuel me, but there are times when I am knee-deep in sin. Man, I don't want to pursue relationships. Man, I want to isolate myself. I do not want to go and confess that. I do not want to hear somebody tell me what I need to do and point me to the truth. That's within me as your pastor. But I know that that's not the calling that God has on my life if I'm going to be the man of God that he wants me to be. And so we got to counter our natural tendency, the thing that lies within us to isolate. We got to counter that with real people that will call us out. Be our full and real selves in community. This is why we need it. Experience life change and freedom from sin as others point us to Christ. People need people. What authenticity looks like. See, accountability is your responsibility. I say this a lot at Paradigm. You have to pursue it. You can't wait for someone to come to you, especially in a culture that everybody's judging each other if you try to call them out. If I want accountability in my life, I have to pursue it. I got to go after it. I have a guy on staff that, man, I run to a lot. I trust them. We've built a relationship. But, man, I got to give him permission to hold me accountable. He's not just going to hold me accountable just because the Bible says to. Maybe he should. I mean, that's biblical, right? But in a culture like we live in today, man, we got to give people permission. We got to seek that out. We got to pursue that. So accountability is your responsibility. As you're getting to know people within your group, man, you got to say, hey, Sarah, hey, John, man, I need this. These are the questions I need you to ask me. Will you? I'm giving you permission. Accountability to others. This is you sharing your condition, sharing who you are and how you're really doing. And then it's accountability for others. So it's not just accountability to others, it's accountability for others, that you would know their condition, that you would know who they are and how they're doing. So it works hand in hand. My buddy, who I go to, like, he comes to me too. It's this shared responsibility. As I'm pursuing accountability, he's in return pursuing accountability from me. So accountability to others and for others. Now, this is what accountability isn't. Legalism and condemnation. Legalism and condemnation. I think we got to be careful as we're pursuing community. We're pursuing this accountability. We're pursuing the disciplines of the faith, reading scripture, praying, that it's not misconstrued as just checking a box or performing for God. Or even worse, it could be confused with legalism, which is this attitude that we're made righteous before God because of what we do. No, no, that's not it. You're not made righteous before God because you go to community. You're made righteous before God because what he did through his son on the cross 2,016 years ago, that Jesus became a man so that he could be our sacrificial lamb, as our pastor always says, Phil Hopper. I love that. That he looked down on you and me 2,016 years ago, did not see fit to leave you and I in our sin. He was sent by God the Father to be a rescue mission for us, because apart from Jesus, man, we have no forgiveness. The cross became the bridge that allows you and me to get to God. And Jesus lived the life that you could never live and died the death you could never die for the forgiveness of sins. And on the third day, he rose again to defeat sin and death so that you and I could do the same. And so that is what we're saved by. That is what makes us righteous before him. True spiritual growth and transformation is not primarily defined by our performance. We don't work for our salvation. We work from our salvation. The reason why I pursue accountability, I pursue community, is because of what Christ has done. It's because of what Christ has done. So accountability isn't this legalism and condemnation that people would look at your sin and they would just slam you for it and make you feel guilty and sinful. But they would point you back to Jesus, because what part of the cross isn't enough to forgive you, right? And they would point you back to that cross. And what Jesus did when he hung on that tree for your sin and my sin. And so it isn't this self-help or fixing each other or pulling your bootstraps up and trying to white-knuckle this thing, right? That's not what accountability is. It's not shaming or penalizing each other into behavior modification. The real secret to living a sin-free life is that you would fall in love with Jesus, that you would be motivated to live from what he did for you. And as you get to know his heart, as you get to know his heart behind the commands that he's calling you to, that his commands aren't to oppress you, but they're there to protect you. As you get to know that, he wants your best. He wants you to experience abundant life. And any life that is lived apart from him is not life. It will ultimately lead to death. And that's his heart for you. So that's what we want to point you to. How to approach accountability: that you would confess sin quickly, submit to wise biblical counsel, and focus on who Christ is and what he's done and how we respond to him. I know I just said that, but I can't say that enough. So real quick, these three things: confession, be quick to confess sin. I love what Proverbs 28:13 says. It says, he who hides his sin will not prosper, but he who confesses it and forsakes his sin will find mercy. Will find mercy. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, John 3:21. Man, it's important that we wrap our minds around this. So be quick to confess sin. Counsel, submit to wise counsel. You know that it's wise counsel. You know that they're admonishing you faithfully when you know that after your conversation, they have pointed you to Christ and who he is. They haven't just pointed you to change some behavior. They haven't just pointed you to, you know, tweak some things within your schedule and change the things that you're looking at and going to. Yes, those are part of it. But that they would restore you gently, as Galatians 6:1 says, pointing you to Jesus, because ultimately, if your love for him does not grow, then your love for the world will. And then the last one, after they admonish you faithfully, after they counsel you biblically, that Christ would be the prize. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me to in Christ Jesus. Man, that's the goal, is that Christ would be elevated in your life. And so just some group connect expectations for you to understand where we're headed in the weeks to come as we close and go into our medium group time, that you, if you want to be placed in Abundant Life Paradigm Community Group, that you would complete all the steps that we require for Abundant Life membership. Or if you're here and you go to another church, that you would be locked into their membership, that you would be a member of that church. And so we know that some of you aren't. And so it's not like we're going to just, you know, hold this rule over your head and say, hey, can't be in a community group until you're a member. No, we're going to point you in that direction. And we're going to have a conversation with you and say, hey, we want you to be pursuing this. And so we will push you. We will nudge you. This is an expectation at some point that you would become a member. Because as you become a member, you're saying, yes, I want to be submitted to this authority. So that, man, when I do fall, hey, they have the right to come up to me, to call me out in love, to admonish me faithfully, as we've been saying. Come to minimum 3 of 3 group connect sessions. Now, I know that this proposes some problems for some of you, so I know every situation is different, but the expectation is that you would come 3 out of 3 times. If you can't, for some reason, just email me. Feel free to let me know your situation, and we can go from there. Once placed in a group, we're asking you to commit to stay a year, because we believe blessing comes out of commitment, that you would commit to this group of people. And I know it's, even when it hurts, right? Even when it's hard, that you would commit, as the scripture says, that you would be faithful. And then, man, if you're like, Josiah, I cannot commit another year. Well, let's talk about that. You're going to have people that oversee those groups. Let's talk about that. And if you have found another group of people that you want to be in community group with, then, let, you know, we're going to flex. We're going to there's some room for that. But we want you to commit a year. And then you would transition well from any previous community group. That if you leave that group for any reason before that year's up, man, we're gonna come after you. Not in a weird way. We're gonna chase you down, but not in a weird way. We're gonna say, hey, talk to us. Why did you leave? Let's transition well. Let's honor God in this process, right? Announcements and room assignments. Here we go. Life stage breakouts. So we're going to break you up to, you know, like I said earlier, with your age categories. We need you to register online. You must do this to be placed in a group. Yes, give yourself a pat on the back. You registered online to come to Group Connect. Awesome. You did a wonderful job. You're also registered online to be placed in a group. Then attendance. Make sure you're checking your name off the attendance roster for your group with your group facilitators here in a few minutes. And then lastly, interested in leading a group and learning more. We're having a leader interest meeting next Sunday at 5:00 right here in this auditorium. Would love for you to join that and be a part of that meeting if you're interested in leading a group. And then lastly, save the date for group kickoff. It's the week of October 9th. The week of October 9th is when we'll be kicking off groups and you guys will be living life together. And so here are your room assignments. We'd love for you to look at that, understand it, and we will help you navigate this in just a few minutes. But let me pray for us and then we'll end our time. Father God, we love you. We thank you for who you are and this opportunity that we have to live life with people, being known and knowing others. God, we want to experience your best for our life, and we believe that happens in the context of community. And so, God, I pray that relationships would develop, these people that are here and they already know who they want to be in community group with, that their minds would be open to learning and hearing from other people who just might end up being in their group and they never thought they would. May they be open to that. And so, God, would you allow them to create incredible relationships during this time that we're about to break up in? Thank you for who you are and giving us a picture of community through your gracious, gracious word that we call Scripture. Say these things in Christ's name. Amen.